Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about how you can fulfill God's will for your life. This is just a part of a series that I've got here. I've got this brand new book out entitled How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will. We're now dealing with the last section of this, and I tell you, it is super important that you find God's will, but then you have to learn to follow His leading and to be led by God. But then, on top of all of that, Satan is going to place obstacles in your life, and you've got to learn how to fulfill, how to go through these things, how to not lose in the process along the way. I gave a statistic earlier in the week that I know not every person watches every single day, so I want to repeat it, but I've heard a statistic that 80% of ministers fail within the first 5 years, and then out of the 20% that continue beyond 5 years, 80% of them are burnt out and ready to quit and give up. They're discouraged. So that means that only 4% of people who start into the ministry are still enjoying it and successful beyond 5 years into their ministry. That's terrible. I don't know if that's true for everybody, but certainly if those same statistics held true for people that get into whatever profession it is, then, you know, that just illustrates that very few people finish their course with joy. You know, I've got a scripture here I was going to turn to, but let me first of all turn over here to Acts chapter 20 and quote the Apostle Paul. This is what he said at a minister's conference that he called. He brought all of the pastors from the church of Ephesus over, and he said this in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 24. He was talking about that the Holy Spirit had borne witness that everywhere he went, he was going to be persecuted and he would be thrown in prison and all of these things. But in verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." You know, I've already used the verse over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where he says, "I have run the race, I have finished my course." Here he says, "I don't count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy." I don't want to just, you know, crawl across the finish line, barely make it. Man, I want to finish my course with joy. I want to be going strong. When it's my turn to, you know, leave this world and turn it over to someone else, if the Lord doesn't come before then, I want to be still operating in joy and having the peace of God and not just barely stumble across the finish line. And I'm telling you, there are reasons why he finished his course with joy. He says, "I don't count my life dear unto myself." He didn't put his own desires above the desires of God. I know that to a lot of people watching this program, you think, "Well, boy, that's restrictive. Man, this is bad when you just turn your life over and you lose all of your own selfish ambitions and you just become the servant of another." It's exactly the opposite. It's bad when you are serving yourself, when you are doing everything for yourself and living for your own pleasures and your own lust. That is a miserable life. If you are all wrapped up in yourself, you make a very small package. That's what all anger comes out of. That's what all lust comes out of. That's what all anger and bitterness, Proverbs 13:10. I could just go on and on and on and on and talk about that. It's in losing your life that you really find what life is all about. It's when you know, like Paul said, that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me, it's Christ living in me. That's what God intended for our life to be like. You know, God created us free moral agents. He gave us the ability to choose. He says, "You can choose, but don't choose this fruit. Don't choose this tree." Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, "Behold, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live." God gave us the choice. He made us free moral agents. But the wrong choice is to exalt yourself. The right choice is to humble yourself. Here's another way of saying this. Over in Jeremiah chapter 10 and in verse 23, this is Jeremiah speaking. If you were to read this in its context, he had just prophesied that the nation of Israel would be overcome, that they would be overrun by the Babylonians, that the Babylonians would burn Jerusalem. They would devastate. It was just terrible destruction. And in the midst of it, Jeremiah just began to, you know, throw this question out. And in a sense, he answered his own question. He says, God, how could this happen to the people who were at one time, they were the apple of your eye. They were the most blessed people on the face of the earth. How could it be that God's people could come to such a terrible end? And he answers it right here in Jeremiah 10:23. He says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know why they came to such a terrible end? Because they did it their way. They and Frank Sinatra did it their way. I tell you, that is a terrible thing. That's a terrible song to think that, man, I did it my way. Your way is not the right way. You know, there's twice in Scripture that it says there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Notice the terminology. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof, singular, the end, there's only one outcome of that, are the ways, plural, of death. There might be many different ways that it manifests, but they're all going to come to one thing. If you do what you want to do, if you lean under your own understanding, you are going to be destroyed. I know that, man, there are people all around the world who are upset with what I'm saying because, again, we just put all of the importance on, I'm a self-made man or woman. Nobody tells me what to do. And we put a lot of priority on that. I tell you what, you were not created to run your own life. Here's another verse that goes along with this. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 5, the Scripture says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is saying very clearly that you are supposed to trust in the Lord and not lean under your own understanding. God gave us the choice, whether we go His way or our way. But the wrong choice is to go your own way. To do things your way is an absolute end. The end of that is going to be destruction. This is not smart. So I started saying all of these things because yesterday on our program, if you want to fulfill God's will, you are going to have to obey what God tells you to do. This is the owner's manual for life. This is God telling us how life works. And your understanding is inferior to this. I don't care how passionately you feel it. I don't care how many times you have a person say it. You can say a lie 1,000 times and it's still a lie. The only thing that changes is people, if you say things over and over, they get to changing their perspective and you might brainwash them. But you know what? If you say a lie 1,000 times, it's still a lie. If 1,000,000 people do the wrong thing, it's still wrong. This is an absolute authoritative guide for life. This is how God told us to run our lives. And He not only just put it in precepts, but He gave us stories. He gave us examples of people who did it their own way and what the results of that would be. And I tell you what, it leads to death. If you are going to fulfill God's will for your life, you need to come to this conclusion that I'm trying to present here. And that is that you have the choice to run your own life. God's not going to force you. He doesn't sovereignly make you do anything. You have the choice, but the right choice is to reject your own wisdom and your own understanding and instead follow what God tells you to do right here in the Word. Look at this passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 3, it says, The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Now this is a powerful Scripture because you know what this is saying? The integrity of the upright shall guide them. There's a lot of people that don't have any principles that they live by. The only principle that they really have is, I'm going to do whatever is best for me. They lean unto their own understanding. They promote themselves at the expense of anything and everything else. And so when they come into a situation and they're presented with a decision, you know what? Most people will do whatever looks at that moment like it's to their benefit. But a man who is upright, a righteous man, has principles that he guides his life by. Like, for instance, that one of the Ten Commandments was, you shall not bear false witness. You know, that's different than just you don't lie. You could bear false witness without ever telling a lie. People do this with statistics all of the time. You know, they will take a sampling of something, but this is one of the things that just galls me, because you'll see these polls that people do, and these polls are primarily taken in New York City and over in California. And I tell you, those are the two most liberal places on the planet. And in the United States, it's not a representation of the vast majority of people. But yet that's where most polling data is done. So they will poll people and they will come up with things like Americans are now in favor of homosexual marriages. And that's one of the things that's going on this week as I'm making these programs. And they've actually come out with this. And yet their polling data is skewed. If you were to go to the cross section, if you were to go to the vast majority of Americans and not just go to the liberal strongholds and do a poll, it would come out totally different. So see, that may not be a lie. It may be what their poll results show, but it is bearing false witness. It's manipulating things. People can take statistics and manipulate them and leave false witness. It may not be a direct lie, but it's false witness. So the reason I bring all this up is to say that if you're in a situation where, say, for instance, you're a salesman and they want you to go out and they want you to represent their product, and they're going to manipulate some things. They're going to say things that aren't out straight, that aren't straight out lies, but it is a manipulation of facts. It is presenting things without presenting the whole picture. And they want you to go out and do this. You know, there's a lot of people that would just go ahead and do it. They would misrepresent their product in order to get a sale. A person of integrity, see, their integrity would forbid them to do that because they can't bear false witness. They aren't going to not only lie, but they aren't going to bear false witness. But so many people, see, if you don't have principles that you guide your life by, then you're just situational ethics. And if nobody, it doesn't look like anybody's going to be hurt, it doesn't look like any real damage is done, then you just go with the flow. You bend and you do things. That's wrong. You know, I had a group of people come to me one time, and this is back when our ministry was really small, really struggling financially, and they came to me and told me that they could guarantee me $1 million if I would let them write a letter and send it out to my mailing list. They would guarantee me $1 million. If the money didn't come in through the thing, they would pay it to me. Well, man, I needed $1 million. So I invited these guys in. They came from California, Tulsa, Dallas. I think we met in Phoenix. And I started asking them, so what are you going to do? And they said, well, just leave it to us. And I said, no, I want to know what you're going to do. And they told me about that they had just written a letter for a minister, and they had raised him $22 million. Now, he had a much larger ministry and a much larger mailing list, but they guaranteed me $1 million. And I said, but what are you going to do? And they started telling me that they had it down to a science, how many times they would underline things, what color they would print it in. They would put pictures of these children in Africa with swollen bellies and flies crawling on their face and talk about how we were doing this relief work in orphanages and all of this stuff. And I said, but I'm not doing that. And they said, well, this guy that we raised $22 million for, he wasn't doing it either, but we sent it out, and boy, people responded. And I said, this is crooked. That's a lie. And they said, all you got to do is just go support one orphan, do one orphanage, just spend very little money, but just do enough that, you know, it's not a total lie. And you know what? You can get the money, and it doesn't matter how you get it. It doesn't matter. You know, you just use it for whatever you want to. And I said, man, this is crooked. I had to pay for fly those people in. It had already cost me some money. And some people would have thought, see, you were already invested. You've got to go through with it. Man, my integrity dictated to me that I will not do stuff like this. I am not going to lie. I will not misrepresent things. And see, this is what it says about an upright man. That it will determine, it will guide you, it will persevere, it will cause you to fulfill God's will if you have some principles and just refuse to compromise. The point I've been trying to make the last couple of days is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. You have to be willing and obedient to eat the good of the land, to see God's will fulfilled. Now, you could stumble upon it. You might do some good. But if you are going to fulfill what God wants you to do, you know what? You're going to have to learn to cooperate with Him. You're going to have to learn to obey Him. You're going to have to quit leaning under your own understanding. You're going to have to quit compromising and putting your own self and your own self-interest ahead of the things of God. You're going to have to become a servant and learn that, praise God, God is smarter than you are. He knows more than you do, and you need to follow Him. You know, I couldn't tell you the thousands and thousands of times that this very principle that I'm talking about right here has worked in my life. And it has, every time that I follow God and do what He tells me to do instead of what I think, it just makes me come out smelling like a rose. I mean, it always works good. God's ways are higher than our ways. God is smarter than I am. I learned that. Jeremiah 10:23. It is not in the way of man to direct his own steps. God didn't. He gave us the choice to do that, but it's the wrong choice. The right choice is to say, God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to lean unto my own understanding. What did you tell me to do? And if God tells you to not do something, don't do it. I don't care what everybody else does. You know, most people do not let the Word of God get in the way of what they do. Most people could quote to you and tell you that the Word of God says this, but they really don't see the relevance of the Word of God to our life. I have just gone the other direction. I believe that this is God speaking to me. God has everything in here is for my own good, for my own learning. All of these things are given. It says over here in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, according to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It says that this knowledge gave us these exceeding great and precious promises, talking about the Word of God. And it's through this Word that we partake of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you don't know the Word of God, if you aren't living by the Word of God, if you aren't obeying what you know the Word tells you to do, you will not escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. You will not partake of His divine nature. You may have it in your born-again spirit, but it's not going to come out into your soul. It won't come out into your flesh. You won't experience the healing. You won't experience the joy and the peace. You need to learn to do what God's Word tells you to do. Now, none of us are going to do it perfectly. And praise God for His grace. That even though I mess up, and man, I have messed up, I've done some things wrong. But you know what? God loved me, and because I kept loving Him and seeking Him, God eventually showed me these things, and I'm walking through it, and God is helping me. I believe in grace, but I don't believe in grace allows me to just go live in sin and do whatever I want to and expect to get the right results. We have an enemy who's trying to destroy you and stop God's will from coming to pass in your life. And if you don't seek God and put a priority on Him, you aren't going to experience His best in your life. You know, I can relate this to employees in my ministry here. You know, I try and operate in grace towards everybody. There's people that, you know, they have personalities. They have some things that I may not like. They may dress differently than I like and things like that. But you know what? I try and be gracious to people. And I've had people before who did things wrong. And I mean, I've had people before who have been caught doing things that are ethically wrong, morally wrong. And you know what? We still operate in grace. I don't get mad at them. I don't hurt them. There's a guy who just recently left our ministry, and I went out after he left and ate with him, and I'm still his friend. And, I mean, he had to quit because of some misconduct. I am still gracious towards him. So I have grace towards all of my employees. But when it comes time to promote people, let's say that a department grows. Did you know what? I may be gracious towards everybody. I may not have a single thing against them. Even if they've done something wrong, I'm not holding it against them. I'm operating in grace towards them. But when it comes time to promote, I am not going to take a person that's got problems in their life and they haven't overcome them yet and who are causing problems, and I am not going to make them the head of a department, because they will just release those problems into everybody else that they influence. I'm going to take a person who's been faithful. I'm going to take a person who's got a good attitude, who's matured and has done some things. And those are the people that I'm going to promote. Does that mean that I don't love the other people? I may love them just as much. I might actually feel more emotionally attached to somebody else. But I am not going to promote wrong behavior, wrong attitudes, and cause it to just go throughout our ministry. Now see, to me, that's a parallel between the way God deals with us. God loves all of us. He loves every single one. I don't care if you are in the midst of terrible sin in your life, if you've got failure, if you're dealing with drugs, alcohol, sexual problems, anger, bitterness, doesn't matter what's going on in your life, God loves you every bit as much as He loves me or any other person. But when it comes time to put a person in the forefront and in the leadership, God is going to take people who have been yielding unto Him, who have learned some things, who have brought their flesh under control. And those are the ones that God is going to promote. He's not going to take a person, even though He loves you and He's not mad at you. That's grace. He is not going to promote things so that you can just reproduce these problems in other people. See, I can see a relationship here. God, by grace, loves you independent of your performance. But if you are going to fulfill and if God is going to promote you and put you as a leader in the body of Christ and use you to influence other people, you are going to have to start obeying. You are going to have to learn to put down your own understanding, quit leaning under your own understanding, and follow God. You're going to have to learn to obey if you really want to see the promotion and the success that God wants for your life. That is really simple. But that's easier said than done. And I know that there are many of you that it's just all, you think you are just awesome. And I tell you, you need to come to the end of yourself and recognize it is not in the ways of men to direct their own steps. You need to quit leaning under your own understanding, and you need to go to the Word of God, the owner's manual, and follow the directions that God has given you if you want to fulfill God's will.
In 2006, there was the mortgage implosion. All those subprime mortgage lenders started going belly up.
And the economy then crashed, and we were one of the first areas to get hit hard.
The banks that I had, 9 or 10 banks, they all collapsed and closed their doors the same week. And I had well over $1 million worth of loans with those banks. All my commissions that I drew from were evaporated. I had no money saved.
Everything that we had had and everything that we had, we were lavishing in, literally was just pulled from under us overnight.
To see the full miraculous story, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on today's TV news story. Find out what's happening to the world changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available in 3 separate companion study guides, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. They're perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only are the entire teachings included in the study guides, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CDs. Each of these valuable resources is available for a gift of $20 or more when you contact us. Or you can get the new book and all three study guides as part of the God's Will package. In addition to the book and study guides, this package includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. You can get these three albums in your choice of either CD or DVD, both recorded live at Gospel Truth Seminars. As a bonus, you'll also receive the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. This entire package has a catalog value of $195, but today you can get it for a gift of just $145 or more. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today's audio teaching is titled Learn to Obey. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Need to get out of town? Hit the road? The trail? Why not make plans now to join Andrew in Colorado Springs July 1st through the 5th for the Summer Family Bible Conference? It's a week of awesome praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc and Karis Bible College School of Worship Director Daniel Amstetz. No-nonsense teaching by Andrew Woman.
God has laid this on my heart. I believe I'm going to say some things that are going to encourage you and help bring you out.
Plus messages from Karis Bible College instructors and World Outreach Director Wendell Parr. There's a barbecue at the Sanctuary Pavilion and events for the whole family to enjoy. The 2013 Summer Family Bible Conference, July 1st through the 5th at the Pikes Peak Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. Then click on the Summer Family link to pre-register your family. We'll see you here July 1st through the 5th at the Pikes Peak Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the 2013 Summer Family Bible Conference.